Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I invite you to take out your outline this morning out of your bulletin, and we are going to be continuing our series that we've been in over the last number of weeks on our values. The title of this series has been One Heart. Basically, what we've been doing is we've been focusing on the values that help to unite us as a church, values that unite our hearts together. And God has given us one heart that we can rally around. And as we get started this morning, I just want to share a couple of things. And first of all, just a big thank you to last Sunday, to Faye Schellenberg and to Vaughn Brown, who spoke in the evening. Faye spoke in the morning on our subject of living missionally, and just want to thank these guys for her good reports. And someone said that was the best sermon they'd ever heard, and so that's good. It's always good to raise the bar when I go away, so that's awesome. And I didn't take it. I'm secure enough to accept that. So, just thanks. As you know, many of us or some of us were away in Kelowna for our district conference, our PAOC district conference, and it was great to be inspired and to learn together with church leaders from across British Columbia, and so we got to be part of that. The other thing I want to say, and Pastor Trevor mentioned it earlier, and I want to encourage all of you to take full advantage of our time with Andy Gabrick here next Sunday. Andy spoke to our youth back in September, and he is probably one of the finest next generation millennial leaders. He fits into that millennial age group from across Canada. He's invited to speak right across this nation. And so we have the opportunity to have him with us next Sunday morning. He'll be speaking at 10, and then again the parent seminar in the evening. Can I just say something? We cannot afford to miss our next generation. We can't afford to do that. We can't, and I appreciate those in our congregation who really value that. I appreciate those in our church who over the years have had to maybe let go of some of their preferences for the sake of being able to, for us that we can still reach out and connect with our next generation. So we honor you and we value you and we thank you for your willingness to be part of reaching it. And so Andy's going to be speaking in the morning, so take full advantage of that. The other thing I want to mention, and that is that unfortunately Barb and I won't be here next Sunday. And I know we were away last week, but we're asking you to pray for us this week. And that on Thursday, we actually leave town for Lloydminster, Saskatchewan, Alberta. It's the border city. How many have ever been to Lloydminster? We had the privilege of helping to plant our church in Lloydminster 30 years ago, and they are marking their 30th birthday, 30th anniversary next weekend. And so they've invited the founding father to come back, and we had little kids at the time, and literally we had toddlers when we went there to pastor that church, to help get that church planted. So it's a real honor. I get shivers just thinking about it right now. It's an honor to go back there and preach. And I've been praying for a word that God would give to me to deposit into that congregation in this time in their history. Because 20 years ago, they released us to come here. And so we're a little bit connected. But I haven't quite figured out exactly what God would have me to share with them next Sunday. So I've got 3 days to figure it out. So pray for us next Sunday. But I want to say as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, We are, as we move into this next value, the value that we're going to focus on today, and actually it's a value that we're going to spend some time with over probably 2 or 3 weeks, and it won't be in order, it won't be in sequence, because we've got a few other things like Andy next week, and then we're coming into Easter. But we want to talk about generosity. And today we're going to introduce this. How many would agree this morning that we serve a very generous God? And communion that we're going to participate in a few minutes together as a church reminds us of the tremendous love and the generosity of God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." He didn't withhold his son. He didn't say, "Well, I love this broken world that has rebelled against me and has turned their backs on me and has gone their own separate ways. And I love them, but I don't think I can give my son for them." Aren't you glad that God didn't think that way? God knew that the only way that this broken world could have a relationship with him was that he had to provide a perfect sacrifice, and there was no perfect sacrifice other than his own son, Jesus. And so communion, as we move towards that, will help us connect to that generous, loving God. And so as we begin this morning, I want to introduce this value of generosity. And as we've been going through our values, we've been connecting the behavior that is attached to it. And in this case, the behavior attached to our value, our CPC value of generosity, will be on the screen. I think it's in your notes this morning as well, is this: that we are committed as a church to living a God-honoring culture of generosity, including the faithful giving of our time, our abilities, our finances, and more, all for his purposes and advancing his kingdom. There it is. We are committed. This is something as a church that we are committed to. And it is a very broad, has a lot of broad, it's the implications are broad. And that's why we're going to spend some time with this one. This week, as I was driving over the Coquihalla, I was thinking about some questions. And I was thinking about this question: what kind of generosity actually pleases God? What kind of generosity honors God? What kind of generosity does God actually require of us? And tying it to our behavior, what kind of generosity will actually help advance the kingdom of God? Last week, the value was living missionally. What kind of generosity is going to be required in order for us to be a missional church, in order for us to actually live out the mission of Jesus Christ? And a simple answer that I'd like to just kind of throw in out here this morning, and maybe one that you can think about in the days ahead, is a generosity that is all in. It's an expression that I've heard recently, and it's kind of grabbed my heart. A generosity that is all in. Everyone say that with me: all in. I don't know how many of you have heard the story about the chicken and the pig, who one day had gotten together and they thought, we should open up a restaurant. And so as they were discussing this, the chicken and pig asked the question, "Well, what should be on the menu? And what should be the name of our restaurant?" And the chickens said, "Well, how about we call it Ham and Eggs? And that could be our feature menu." And, they thought, well, the chicken thought that was a pretty good idea. But you all know what the pig was thinking, right? And the pig, his comeback was, "Mr. Chicken, for you, all you got to do is kind of give a little donation every day or two. For me, it's like a total everything. It's a total commitment. And so I think you get the picture here, right? You know, one is, you know, one just gives a little contribution. But the other is, it's an all-in. You know, like there's no, if it's going to be ham on the menu, it's going to be all-in. And to me, it helps to illustrate the kind of generosity that God requires of his people and of his church. Because oftentimes generosity is something where we find ourselves giving, you know, our contribution and we think we're done. We, you know, the world does that. The reality is, if we are going to live this out, it's going to require an attitude, a heart that says, we are all in. And I want to just challenge this, you as a church and as a congregation. As you move toward the future, as we move into transition, as we move into change, it's going to require people who are all in. My hope and prayer is that whoever God has chosen to be the next leader of our congregation, that they would be able to benefit from a people who are all in, a people who are fully committed to the mission of Christ and what God has called this church to do. And so there's a lot of implications about this subject, and we'll expand on it in the days ahead. But I want us to look at one primary scripture this morning that will be a bit of the foundation of the next few minutes before we receive communion. And it's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It's in your notes. If you want to turn to it, you're welcome to. It's just one verse, but it's a very powerful verse with many implications. And it was Paul speaking, and he uses the word therefore. He starts with therefore. I urge you, brothers, sisters, people, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. There's a lot of things we could say about this verse, but I want to attach this scripture this morning to generosity. In view of all of this, in view of God's mercy, I invite you, I urge you to offer your bodies. Our bodies represent a lot of us, a lot of who we are, everything about us, as living sacrifices. You know what the problem with living sacrifices are? The problem with living sacrifices is sometimes they have a tendency to crawl off the altar. It's like when the demand gets a little bit too much, it's easy to pull away. What I love about this picture of living sacrifices is that it requires an act of my will. You probably don't know, a lot of you don't know this story, but our former youth pastor, Johnny, when he first started, he was a real, you know, had some crazy ideas when we started out. And we were doing a baptism one night for youth. And he said, Dave, I'm going to change the sign out front. And we're going to put out on the sign, sacrifices tonight, 6 p.m. on the church sign. We laugh about it today a lot, or we laughed about it a lot over the years. And he was, you know, and I thought, man, in an age of terrorism and media, and I said, Johnny, I'm not quite sure if people are going to quite get it as they drive by our church. And so I had to trump that And he said, yeah, Dave, that was probably not a good idea. But anyway, but the point he made was right. What was in his heart when it came to baptism was, you are willingly presenting yourself to Christ and making this decision that I am going to follow Jesus Christ with all of my life and with who I am for the rest of my days. That's kind of a little bit of what baptism is. We are dying with Jesus, right? Hello? Living sacrifices. And so what kind of generosity pleases God? Let me share with you three thoughts from this scripture. First of all, we're talking about a generosity that is a response to God's mercy. You know, a lot of times, you know, in churches and charitable organizations, oftentimes the pitch goes out, there's a need, and, you know, people are asked to dig deep and, you know, give. But, you know, the reality is when it comes to the kind of generosity that God is pleased and honored with, it's not about just responding to a need. But ultimately, what is the motivation, what moves our heart to be generous is our response to God's mercy. And that's what Paul is saying here. In view of God's mercy, in view of all that God has done for us, we can't help but be generous people. In view of God's love, in view of God's grace, God is a gracious God, and He didn't withhold anything. In view of the price that was paid for our salvation, in view of the fact that God allowed His Son, Jesus, to come into this world, and live His life, and then as we are coming into this Good Friday, Easter season, we're reminded of the incredible price that Jesus paid for our salvation. That we could have a relationship with God. That we could have a broken relationship, a relationship where we were separated from God. And through Jesus and through God's love and His mercy has invited us to come back into a restored relationship with Him. And that's, we are the beneficiaries of that this morning. And so it's in view of that, it's in view of what God has done for us, that we can't help but be generous people. It has to be in the DNA of every child of God to be generous. It's in our DNA. It's God has restored our relationship with Him. He's made a new image out of it. He's created us after His image. And we all know that God is a generous God. And so in view of God's mercy, it's very simple. It's a simple truth. Generosity that pleases God flows out of a heart of gratitude. How many are thankful for what God has done for you? Amen? We're thankful. Every time we are, every time we do an act of benevolence or kindness or lead a worship, play an instrument or teach a Sunday school class with our talents, with our gifts, we do it out of a heart of gratitude. God, thank you for what you've done for me. In view of God's mercy, I choose to live a generous life. Secondly, generosity that pleases God requires full surrender. In that verse, Romans 12:1, that we have already touched on this picture here where God is saying, or Paul is saying, in view of all that God's done for you, he's saying, I'm urging you, I'm challenging you to present your life, your body, your who you are as a person, as a living sacrifice. The word there to present or to offer your body is the Greek verb is yield. It's to yield, to surrender, to give. And the picture here is offering to God all that I am, everything I have, offering to God my life, offering to God my talents, my finances, my business, my hopes, my dreams. We all have hopes and dreams. They need to include God, and because God might invite us to do something that maybe may not be exactly what we want, but we say, God, my prayer is that our dreams and our hopes will be yours, that our future is offered completely to God. You know, when we felt God's leading and made the decision to surrender the, not surrender is maybe the wrong word, but to make way for change and realize that the mantle of leading this congregation was coming to an end, it required a kind of a surrendering of our future to God, your future, our future, the future of someone else who God is choosing, raising up to come and be here. There's a person right now that God is saying, it's time to surrender that part of your future. And we need to be praying for that person, whoever they are. Again, a generosity that pleases God requires full surrender. And as we said earlier, it's about being all in, all in. Communion reminds us that Jesus was all in. Jesus was all in. Jesus held nothing back. Jesus, when he prayed, he said, not my will, but your will be done. He was all in. Jesus demonstrated a life that was completely surrendered to the purposes of God. He was all in. And I love what Paul also said in Philippians 2 and verse 5. He says, and your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus was all in. He gave his life completely, full surrender. He didn't hold anything back. He was all in. And that, to me, that's a picture of what generosity that pleases God is all about. It's, I'm all in. And so, again, right now there might be something that God is asking of you, requiring of you, that maybe you've been holding back and saying, I'm not quite ready to go there. But the reality is this morning is that if we are going to live our lives out in such a way that involves full surrender, it's going to require us being all in. When Pastor Trevor and Kim came to the valley back last summer, they uprooted their family, kind of left a lot of security. But it took a decision to say, we're all in. And they needed to be willing to make that decision and surrender their lives to God's plan and purpose. Generosity with our lives requires us being all in. The third thing I see here coming out of this simple scripture but great implications is generosity that pleases God is an act of worship. I know you've heard this before, but I'll say it again, that worship is way more than just singing a song. Hello? Worship is more than the latest top 20 worship songs. And I like them, and you like them, and we turn on our Spotify or whatever, and we, and it's great. I'm so thankful to God for the gift of music and the gift of worship, that we can express worship through song and through times like we've had this morning. But let me say, there is no greater worship than a fully surrendered life. There is no greater worship than a fully surrendered life. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying to offer your bodies in view of God's mercy in view of what God has done for you, to offer yourself completely to Him. And when we do that, when we offer ourselves fully surrendered, He's saying, that becomes your spiritual worship. It becomes an act of worship. And so that can look different for a lot of different people. Maybe God's called you to a certain assignment. Maybe it's to work in a certain field, or maybe it's to serve in a ministry that's maybe touching the broken. Maybe it's touching people's lives out on the street. Maybe you will never be on a platform in leading in a song, but what you are doing, or maybe it's serving in the nursery, a young family with a little baby, that becomes worship. And my heart this morning is, let's not confuse worship with one or two things. Ultimately, it's the surrendered life that becomes our ultimate act of worship before God. Someone said this, that before we give ourselves away in mercy, because again, generosity, a lot of times people have this idea that generosity is helping the person who is in need of help. Maybe it's financially contributing to someone's need. Maybe it's giving to benevolence, or maybe it's giving to missions, or anything like that. The reality is that we must give ourselves away in worship to God before we give ourselves away in mercy. Are you with me? Generosity that pleases God starts with the life that is fully surrendered to Him. And this morning, as we move into communion, we're reminded again of the greatest act of love and generosity the world has ever known. Would you agree with that this morning? That what Jesus did for us on the cross is the greatest act of love and generosity the world has ever known. Communion is a constant reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And that's why the Bible is very clear that whenever you eat the bread and drink of the cup, Jesus says, you do this in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? We are remembering the greatest act of love and generosity the world has ever known. And in Luke chapter 22, you can read the story, and we're going to have that opportunity again over the next few weeks with Good Friday and the Easter season to remember what Jesus has done. Luke 22, the Bible says, Jesus took the bread. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back this time. Jesus took the bread. He was with his disciples, and he was preparing to go to the cross. He knew what was ahead of him. And with those disciples, he took the piece of bread that they were receiving during the Passover meal. Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. The reality is it's a picture to us this morning of people's brokenness. How many can relate this morning? Just raise your hand for a moment. How many can relate to brokenness? Aren't you glad that God, Jesus, accepted you and reached out to you in your brokenness? We started the service this morning. He heard your cry for mercy. Yeah. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. And then he said in the same way, he says he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. And I was reading those words again this week. I was really drawn to those words, poured out. And it's just a picture that God, through his son, Jesus, literally everything was poured out for you. He didn't hold anything back. Jesus was all in. He didn't keep some back for himself. His whole life was poured out for you. The reality is, we've all sinned. And we all need a Savior. Our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have caused us to have a broken relationship with God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, because he was willing to be all in, because he was generous and loving and merciful, we are beneficiaries of that today. I want to say this morning, I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads with me for a moment. And as we move into communion, I'm mindful right now that there may be there's someone here this morning. And you would say, as we even began the service this morning, you might feel today you're a little bit like on the outside looking in. And you know your relationship with God is not right. You know that there's sin. There's your relationship with God has been broken. I want you to know this morning that Jesus went all in for you. And all we need to do this morning is say, Jesus, I accept what you did for me, because I can't do it myself. We can't be good enough. We can't earn God's love or God's grace. It's his mercy that we get to receive. And I want to just say this morning, if that's you, you feel on the outside looking in, you feel, man, my life's a mess. It's broken. I'm not. If Jesus were to come today, if I was to die today, I know I wouldn't be ready to meet God. I wouldn't be ready to meet Jesus. I wouldn't be ready to go to heaven. But today, because Jesus was all in, he loves you, he's saying, today you can come to me. You know, it's interesting. Today is time change Sunday. I want you to know today is it's your day for change. It's your day for a new beginning. It's your day to go forward. It's your day to leave the old behind and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me, for being all in. And today, I want to receive you as my personal Savior. I want to receive your forgiveness this morning. And I give my life to you today. And that becomes the journey where you then begin to present your life in surrender to him. But it starts with saying, Jesus, I give you my life. That's where it starts. And I'm wondering this morning how many would say, Pastor Dave, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ this morning. I need to surrender my life to him today. And I need, my relationship's been broken, but today I'm coming back. I'm coming home. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm giving my life to him. If that's you, would you just take a minute right now and just raise your hand and just slip it up, because I want to pray for you this morning. Is there anyone? Yes. Anyone else this morning would say, Pastor Dave, I need to give my life, surrender to Christ today. Anyone? Just slip your hand up real quick. I know it takes a bit of courage to do this. Anyone else this morning? Two or three. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? Just in this moment. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Bless you. God bless you guys. I'm so thankful that Jesus was willing to be all in for you. That he was willing to pour his life out for you. There's been 4 or 5 people. Some maybe just coming back. You've been away from God, and today it's a day of You're coming back home. You're returning, not to a church, but you're returning to Him. Anyone else, just for a moment, just slip your hand up. It's really an important time before we move into communion. Father, we pray, I pray right now for these ones who have opened their hearts to what you are saying to them today. They are listening, hearing the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you are all in. And I pray today that our generosity would be rooted in what you've done for us. That this would become the foundation of everything that we would do. And as we explore this subject more in the days ahead, that it would be tied to your mercy and to your grace, to your love. And that we are not generous people out of duty or obligation, but we are generous out of your great mercy, and that you are all in and you compel us to be all in. And so we come to the altar this morning with thanksgiving for what you've done for us. The good thing is we get to come as we are. We get to come with our brokenness. We get to come with our pain. We get to come with our sinfulness, knowing that we are recipients of God's mercy and grace. Can you picture the Father's arms open wide? In view of God's mercy, we get to come. We don't come because you've had a good week. We don't come this morning because of our good works or your efforts. We come to this table in view of God's mercy. All I can say is that our hearts are filled with gratitude.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.